Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Think with me back to when you were in school. Do you remember sitting in a class as your teacher explained a new concept to you? The class you're imagining is probably math. Remember how the introduction to the new concept took so long to understand? After lots of questions and much effort on your part, the concept is finally understandable and you can actually rework the problems. Have you ever felt equally inadequate when it comes to understanding God? In our humanity, we try to understand Him and comprehend His ways. Sometimes we wonder if we will ever be able to comprehend. We must realize that we won't ever completely understand Him. If we could, then we would be as great as He is, and we know that is not the case. Even though we won't fully grasp or understand while we are living on earth, I believe it is good for us to think about Him and discuss His greatness with others. My awe for God grows when I consider His majesty. Seeing God for who He is also clarifies who I am and how weak we are before Him. These thoughts cause my heart to worship. And when we consider the grandeur of God, our language feels weak and we struggle to express ourselves. Thankfully, God knows us and is patient with us. Today's lesson, God's choice of a people, sent my mind down this path of awe and worship. When I saw the title, I wondered, how can a God who knows everything make a choice? Does God really know everything about everything? If He does, then He must know what I'm going to choose. Is it then a choice? If God chose some people, are there some people He doesn't choose? I don't have the answer to all these questions, and I can trust Him without these answers. But I did enjoy being overcome by worship when I contemplated His magnificence. We also hope you will worship Him and be overwhelmed by His splendor. Enjoy the rest of today's lesson from Exodus 19 as J. Mark teaches us about God's choice of a people.
Some of our listeners to this radio program, Hope for Today, ask this question. Why did God choose Israel as His people? Well, I remind you that you and I, too, must make choices. Every day we choose. Every day we make decisions. How and what we decide determines what we do, and that affects many other people. There is no choice you and I can make which affects only ourselves. Our choices are made in a rather small area, even when they have to do with our family, our church, our community, or perhaps even our nation. Our choices are rather limited. Did you know that God makes choices too? Yes, He does. And what happens when He makes a choice or a decision? Does God's choice affect anyone else? In Exodus chapter 19 and verses 1 to 8, we see God's choice of a people. He made this choice because He is the possessor of the whole earth. He said, "All the earth is mine," and that includes the inhabitants of the earth. So I invite you to turn in your Bible now to Exodus chapter 19, and I will be reading verses 1 through 8. That's Exodus chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. From this record, I want to show you the proper responses of those who are chosen to be God's people. From this, we will also make some direct applications to our lives today. The easiest response is, God's people consider what God does. They first of all reviewed where they came from. In this particular case, God reminded the people of Israel that they had just come out of Egypt. Egypt in their day was a great land. Well, it's still a great land. It's a land of ancient civilization, a land of great potential and possibility. But for Israel in those days, it was a land of slavery and hardship. Incidentally, Egypt in the Bible is often used as a metaphor for sin. It represents the old life of the flesh, life without Christ. But the children of Israel had come from Egypt, and they traveled through the wilderness. The way was unmarked. They had never traveled that way before. But remember, God was leading them by the pillar of cloud during the day and by the pillar of fire at night, until they came to the Mount of God, Mount Sinai. So there was a review of where they had come from. And then there was also a review of what God had done. Moses was to tell the house of Jacob, the children of Israel, what God had done on their behalf. He said, "You saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I brought you to myself on eagle's wings." Under normal circumstances, the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt was impossible. But you know something? God delights in doing the impossible. He can make a way when there seems to be no way. He miraculously brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now remember, God had chosen this people long before he delivered them. That's an important truth to keep in mind. When God first called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, he said to him, "I will make of you a great nation." Now, great has several different aspects of meaning. We can think of great in terms of number or influence. But here, God, in calling them by name, the house of Jacob and children of Israel, he is reminding them of what he did in the lives of the patriarchs. To be God's people, it's very important for us to consider God's acts on our behalf. When we are professing believers in God, that is, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and the God of Abraham, then we also must give serious consideration to what he does for us. And so the second response to God's choice of people moves us to a higher level. It is, God's people consider what he decrees. I want you to notice carefully verses 5 and 6 of this text. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar," or we would use the word special, "treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Now there are two conditions here. "If you will obey my voice" is the first one. And the second one is, "if you will keep my covenant." You know something? Those conditions have never been altered for Israel or for any people who want to be the children of God or to be part of the people of God. To Israel, God said, "You cannot be the people of God if you will not listen to me, if you will not pay attention to my voice, and if you will not keep my covenant. But if you do my commands, you will be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." That's God's decree. It is his authoritative order, and it is meant to be obeyed. Now consider what God decrees in terms of the conditions and in terms of the outcome. "If you will do this," God said, "then you will be a special people to me. You will be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." Think of it, a kingdom of priests, not just one group of people, but the whole nation. The priestly role in the Bible is defined to be one who stands between the people and God. And so here, this nation, being called of God, a holy nation, was to be a kingdom of priests to stand between God and the peoples of all the nations of the world. Considering what God decrees has tremendous implications for you and me. The people of God must consider what decrees God makes, and the people of God must understand that the requirement for those decrees is obedience. That's the key. Faith releases the power with which all of this can take place. And then the highest response of people chosen by God is, God's people consider what God desires. They must take all of it into account. So when Moses came down from the top of Mount Sinai, he called for the elders of Israel, and he laid it all before them, all the words which the Lord commanded him. He didn't leave anything out. He said it all just like God had said it to him. Evidently, the people also heard what Moses said as he communicated God's word. Moses left no one untouched. They were all to be directly involved in all that God desired. Consider what God desires and commit your all to Him. The Bible tells us all the people answered together and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." All the people responded, not just some of them. There was unity in the community. All the words of God were important, and so they refused nothing, and they said, "We'll do everything the Lord has said." Now, you and I may be quick to criticize what happened afterwards, but that's not the point right here. The point is that God desires complete commitment from His people. All the words of God were important, so the people didn't make any exceptions. To be God's people, acceptance of God's desires is important, and obedience is the secret. You must come and consider what He desires and then be willing to commit everything to Him. To be God's people, we must follow Israel's response. Consider what God does. Think of all the blessings that have come to you because of God and His goodness. And then consider what God decrees. Remember, we can't alter what God says. And finally, consider what God desires. Out of a true heart of commitment, we can say, "Yes, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And then we will be among those whom He has chosen to be His people.
Thanks, J. Mark, for this teaching. And thank you for being here for this teaching from God's Word. It is amazing how timeless the Bible is. We believe this book is the best foundation to live by. For all the hard questions in life, the Bible has the best answers. Not the easy answers, but certainly the best ones. And Jesus promises to be with us. What a comforting promise. If you have any questions, or if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, here are a few ways you can contact us. The best way is via email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. On our website, you will find other teaching similar to this and more helpful resources. Please look around while you're there. If you go to the Connect tab, you can message us directly. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Thank you so much for being with us. We look forward to next week and hope you will join us for more lessons from Exodus. I will leave you with the comforting promise Jesus left to all His disciples in the last verse of Matthew, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.